And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
This is an appeal on behalf of Child Aid, who are launching Eureka Appeal. That's the Eastern Ukraine and Emergency Kids Appeal. It is not often that Child Aid, an international Christian children's charity, launches an emergency appeal. They have not done so since the end of the Cold War, but now the need for one is greater than ever before. In eastern Ukraine, the much-publicised autumn ceasefire is not held in the key regions of Donetsk and Slavyansk. Over 2,000 people have been killed, many in recent months. Priests and members of their congregations have been captured, some during Mass, and then tortured. Many are still missing, with no assurances as to their whereabouts and safety. Churches and altars have been desecrated by Nazi symbols. A minimum of 250,000 people have either been lost or fled their homes. In the last 2 weeks, the numbers of displaced peoples in or near Slavyansk and Donetsk have skyrocketed to over 35,000. They have no shelter, no food, no water, no safe sanitation, and no clothes to call their own. All they have is the shirt on their backs and their passport if they're lucky. Child Aid, a UK-registered charity with over 40 years' uninterrupted presence in Russia and the republics of the former Soviet Union, has launched the emergency appeal to help those children and their families most affected by the crisis in Ukraine. They need to raise a minimum of £26,000 as soon as possible, but in the first week of the appeal, they were able to spend £6,645. With your help, they can and must do more. Child Aid will try to help relieve the suffering of the people like Morozi. His house was destroyed by an artillery fire, so he and his wife, daughter and son found another house to rent. This too was destroyed in the fighting. He says, "We are doing nothing. We just sit here all day. I was lying in bed and I heard the boom of a shell being fired and I waited, counting the seconds for it to land. It just wears out the nerves. My son doesn't seem to be afraid. If my wife starts to cry, he tells her, 'Mummy, don't cry, everything will be okay.' Then she just goes into hysterics, especially if something happens nearby. The terror of the last few weeks has left its mark. Every night there is a bombardment," says Stanislav. "Children suffer psychological damage from this. If a young kid has to spend 2 months like this, they will suffer irreversible damage. So a question, what are we supposed to do for them? It's a catastrophe. Please contact Child Aid on PO Box 200, Bromley BR1 1QF, or you can email them at info@childaidrr.org, that's info@childaidrr.org, or their website www.childaidrr.org.uk. Please help them. Thank you. Listeners of Lutheran Radio UK will recall an immigrant activist who took refuge at an Oregon Lutheran church more than a month ago to avoid deportation. He has now finally been arrested on federal charges of illegal re-entry. Francisco Aguirre, who came to the US from El Salvador nearly 2 decades ago, was arrested Thursday at a county court. He was there to settle a driving under the influence case. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement deported Aguirre to El Salvador in 2000 after a drug conviction. He then unlawfully re-entered the country. Aguirre, who has 2 children who are U.S. citizens and is now the coordinator of a Portland non-profit that runs a day labor center, disputes the criminal prosecution on drug dealing charges 15 years ago. His defense attorney, Barbara Gabriela Guillo, declined to comment. Aguirre took refuge at Augustana Lutheran Church in mid-September after federal immigration agents tried to detain him outside his home. The agents did not have a warrant, so they could not enter his home. He came to the attention of authorities in August after being arrested for driving under the influence. Records show that the 35-year-old was indicted by a grand jury in September on the illegal re-entry charge. Officials with Oregon's U.S. Attorney's Office who prosecuted the case also declined to comment. Aguirre is among those who have taken sanctuary in U.S. churches in recent years because authorities generally don't make arrests in places of worship. Since appearing at court, he has returned once again to the sanctuary of Augustana Lutheran Church. Experts estimate about 300 congregations around America are ready to take in immigrants. This year, at least 3 immigrants have taken sanctuary in churches in Arizona and 1 in a church in Chicago. A Pakistan court on Monday remanded in custody 4 people accused of burning to death a Christian couple for alleged blasphemy, killings which have sparked nationwide anger. bonded labourer Shezed Masir and his pregnant wife Sharma Bibi were beaten by a mob of 1,500 people, then thrown on top of a lit furnace last week in a crazed reaction to rumours that they had thrown pages of the Quran into the garbage. The horrific incident on November the 4th has sparked outrage and protests across Pakistan. Police have arrested more than 40 suspects. Politicians, ordinary citizens, religious scholars and rights activists from different schools of thought have voiced anger at the brutal crime, a rare reaction in mainly Muslim Pakistan to the killing of people from a minority faith. The police produced four suspects in anti-terrorism court and the judge remanded them into police custody for further interrogation until November the 19th, the prosecution official told AFP. He said 39 more suspects were already in jail, out of a total of some 60 suspects named in the lynching of the Christian couple. Some 900 students from Lahore's missionary schools staged a demonstration outside Lahore Press Club against the murders. "We want justice and stop killing minorities," protesters shouted. "Death penalty for the killers of Shezed and Shama," read one banner. The couple were lynched in the tiny hamlet of Chak, village 59 near the town of Kot Radhakishan, 60 kilometres or 40 miles southwest of Lahore. Sirajul Haq, the leader of Pakistan's largest religious community, Jamaat-e-Islami, visited Kot Radhakishan Monday and met the family of the victims. Haq strongly condemned the killings, demanded a high-level inquiry into them, and urged the government to ensure severe punishment for the perpetrators, a party official told AFP. "Blasphemy is a hugely sensitive issue in Pakistan, with even unproven allegations often prompting mob violence. Those who take part in the violence are rarely, if ever, prosecuted, a fact not lost upon the relatives of the deceased." Scouts were asked to remove their poppies before a Remembrance Sunday parade. The Fenham Holy Cross Beavers and Cubs met at Fenham Holy Cross Church, a member of the Church of England, where group leader Alan Lindsay is said to have told them to take off their poppies. He said it was because poppies were not part of the uniform, according to the assistant to the event leader. Although Mr. Lindsay declined to comment when contacted, the County Commissioner of Northumberland Scouts said he has apologised for the incident. Peter Nicol said it is right and proper for our 550,000 youth members and volunteers to wear a poppy on their uniform at this time of year, and we encourage them to do so. "We are aware of an issue at the Fenham Holy Cross Scout Group where the new volunteer scouting manager asked three Cub Scouts to remove their poppies from their uniform, as this had been the tradition at this scout group. He, Mr. Lindsay, has since realised that he had made a mistake and has apologised for his actions and any unintended distress he may have caused." Joy Walker, 50, from West Denton, leads a group of 6 to 8 year old beavers and has now resigned over the issue. "I just think he's being so disrespectful," she said. "Our queen has a poppy on, as of all the heads of state do too, and we were not told to wear ours. It's absolute madness. I grew up with my dad laying the wreath at the cenotaph on behalf of all merchant seamen, so I wear my poppy with pride, and that is why I feel really passionate about this." Mrs. Walker said that when the scouts met in the church hall, it was there that they were told to remove their poppies. After Mrs. Walker refused to take her poppy off, she removed her neckerchief and sat in the church with Treasurer Barbara Johnson instead of the scouts. Mrs. Walker said, "I sat in the congregation as a mark of respect to all who gave their lives for us." After the service, Mrs. Walker sent a formal email of her resignation to Mr. Nicol. It explained that with great sadness she was leaving because she clashed with Alan to the point she had to resign. "I'm sad to leave my job. I won't get to see my beavers, who are absolutely wonderful," she said. A 400-year-old Bible, which disappeared from a cathedral more than 40 years ago, has turned up on sale in an Oxfam shop on the other side of the country. The vellum-bound Latin New Testament, dating back to 1574 and worth around £1,000, vanished from the Exeter Cathedral Library in Devon in the 1970s. A book dealer customer at an Oxfam shop in Dorking, Surrey, was thumbing through the Bible and noticed an inscription reading E.C. Harrington, Exeter, October the 22nd, 1867. The reference was to the canon Edward Charles Harrington, who bequeathed a set of rare books to the cathedral after he was chancellor in the 1890s. The cathedral made a donation to the shop to return the Bible after it was confirmed as the genuine article. And finally, US police revealed the details of a bad first date after a 23-year-old man met a woman for the first time in person after they had chatted online. The woman got into his car at a drive-through restaurant in Wilsonville, south of Portland, Oregon, and suggested he buy her a milkshake. The man got two $1 notes in change and put them into his wallet, which he left on the center console. The woman grabbed the wallet, got out of the car, and ran off. The man called 911 and provided the woman's mobile phone number. Officers called her to arrange a meeting at the same restaurant the next day, where they arrested her and recovered the wallet with the two $1 notes still inside. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.